Good morning, everyone. Yeah, we just felt to mix up things a bit. I think one of the things that we don't want to do is get into a set form or a formula or a pattern. We're going to be able to go where the Spirit of God leads and what He lays in our hearts. And just felt to lay a bit of a foundation with the preaching, and then we're going to go into worship. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank You that You are leading us on, Lord, and continually leading us into victory, Lord, and making a public spectacle of the enemy. And Lord, I pray that we'll be people that not only are hearers of Your word, but doers, Lord. We know that You're busy forming and shaping us and molding us, God, and as we're in Your presence, we're beholding Your, we're looking into Your face, and as we do that, we are being transformed, Lord. And I pray for us, God, if we maybe got slack in our devotion to You, if we have stopped staying in the fight, Lord, I pray this morning that You'll convict us, that we'll get back in the fight, Lord, that we'll be get back in Your presence, beholding You, Lord, because we don't want to be a people that settle, God, and get stagnant. We want to be a people that follow You as You advance us, Lord. So would You come and work in our hearts this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in this week, while preparing, I had actually something different in mind a few weeks ago to preach this Sunday. And then I just felt the Lord lay on my heart this phrase: we are moving on too quickly. As a people, we are moving on too quickly. And over the last 4 or 5 weeks, God has been speaking very specifically to us as His church, as His people. He spoke in the area of prayer, and it was really significant and clear. And the scripture teaches us, if something needs to be established, there needs to be 2 or 3 witnesses, and then that matter is established. And there was a real sense among a lot of people that that was what God was speaking to us about, and there was deep conviction. So God spoke to us about prayer. Then He spoke to us about love. You remember Kim Miller being here, and he spoke about love. And then last week, Skulk spoke about humility and coming before the Lord and living a life fully dependent on Him. Now, those are 3 very clear-cut things. The danger for us is because we grow up in, majority of us have grown up in churches, Dutch Reformed community, and we've grown up in churches, and we've heard a lot of sermons, and we've heard a lot of messages. The danger is that we become hearers and not doers. Or that we become hearers, we fully convinced we're going to do this, and come Tuesday, we totally forgot that God spoke, and we just moved on. And then we come to Sunday again, and it's a new thing, and it's a new thing. And what happens is we kind of like just carry on from salvation to death. Just this, we just carry on. But actually, God wants to meet us every season and wants to transform us until we are conformed into the image of His Son. It's a journey that He's very intentional about, and I think sometimes we're not as intentional. We just move on to the next thing. And I felt God wanted to address that very area and speak into that very area. I saw this illustration from the late Billy Graham. And he had this illustration that our walk with the Lord is like ladders. We're growing. See, throughout Scripture, Paul prays that they would grow in their knowledge of Christ, that they would grow in their faith, that they'd be transformed. And the whole New Testament is all about growing into the measure of Christ. The day we get saved, we're a new creation, we've got a new nature, but now we're going to, in a sense, grow into that nature. The Bible calls that sanctification, as we are being made holy and made in the image of Christ. And He said we're all on this journey as we grow in Christ, but some of us have settled for a 2-step ladder. And we're like, hey, I'm in the faith, I'm in the church, life's good, but it's just 2 steps. Where God actually has something much different for us. But we've settled there. And God wants us to grow. It's not to become closer to Him or try and achieve salvation. It's from a place of salvation. He wants us to grow in our faith. Well, I've never seen you from this eye. I've never seen the people at the back. Just joking. But God wants us to grow in our faith. Okay, I think that's it. Before I... It's red there. God wants us to grow, but we've settled. We've settled for something far less. And I got this picture. I don't know if any of you remember. Do we have that PowerPoint? I want to speak about don't hijack your growth. God wants us to grow. The danger is that we sometimes, He's very intentional about it. I think the reason why we stay stagnant or immature is because we hijacked our growth. I don't know if you saw this movie, Boss Baby, or Baby's Day Out. What is it? Boss Baby. And so basically there's this image of these all these babies that got this headquarters. But they all live like adults. And they've got this job that they do, and they're behind the computers, and they're busy with the stats. And as the Lord reminded me of the picture, I just felt sadly a lot of churches actually look like that. Hebrews, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish from good and evil. And Paul addresses the church, and believers here, the church here, and he says that you're not growing up. In a sense, you're looking like the boss babies. You're adults. And just because you think you're of age, that doesn't make you mature. That doesn't make you a growing believer. It just means that you're old. Duh. Older. It just means that you're older, but you're not. You need to be growing in your faith. I want to tell you this, that you can be 60 and still be an infant in the faith. You can be 30 and still be an infant. You can be a businessman or quite someone with a lot of accolades in this world and still be an infant. You can be a 14-year-old and actually not be an infant and partake of solid food. Because it's not about your age. It's about how you apply yourself by constantly giving yourselves. Who have trained themselves, who by constant use have trained themselves. God wants us to grow. Why does God want us to grow? God wants us to grow because He really loves us. And He doesn't want us to settle in our state. I want my kids to grow up. I don't mind my 16-year-old still to wear diapers. I want them to grow up. As a father, that gives you pleasure and it's your desire to see God wants the best for us. He doesn't want us to live this type of life, menial, mediocre. He wants us to grow and live in all that He has for us. If we grow, it will benefit us. We'll grow and there will be things that we'll see of God and do that will benefit us richly. If we stop growing, we stagnate. And things that stagnate dies. It rots. So God wants us to keep growing so that we don't stagnate. And lastly, God wants us to grow because He wants to use us. There's an old phrase that says, babies don't make babies, adults make babies. And God wants us to grow up so that we can be of use for Him in the church, in the kingdom. I want to quickly speak about the four things that can hijack our growth. Because it is clear, God wants us to grow. The first thing is we forget our fallen state. When we forget our fallen state, we hijack our growth. There's a story in Jeremiah. It speaks about a well-known passage of Scripture about the potter that forms the clay. And God speaks to Jeremiah, the prophet, and He says, I want you to go to the potter's house to go and look what he's busy with. And as he walks in there, he sees a potter, and he's holding a piece of clay. And it says that it was from verse 4, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred. Marred means it's spoiled. It's spoiled. It's not useful for much in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. And he saw the clay in its state. And then the potter had it in his hands and he started shaping it into something else. There's something about understanding where we've come from that fuels our desire for growth. If we know how much, here's the thing. Some of us aren't devoted, aren't giving ourselves fully to constant change and transformation. Because we look at our lives and we feel like, I'm a really good Christian. I'm quite mature. I've come a long way. And what happens is we start stagnating and we're delaying our growth because we've forgotten how far we've fallen. If you feel like you've done okay and you're in a good place, you're in danger of potentially feeling or falling for the sin of self-righteousness. Because we have been saved from a fallen, messed up state. And we've got to understand that we need serious transformation. We need to be in the potter's hand because we've been marred. And we need the potter to shape and mold us. Because just progressing a little is not what he has intended for us. So if we forget how far we were, how far down the line we were, we stop changing. Tolstoy, a Russian novelist, he said the following. Oh, he said something. I'll just read it. He said, everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. There's something where we need to realize, hey, I'm not Jesus yet. No matter how good I feel about my Christian walk, I'm not Jesus yet. So I'm going to stop worrying about others out there. I'll get many voice notes. Some 16 minutes long, some 2 minutes long. Luckily, there's double play. But I get a lot of voice notes. And it's people like, hey, we need to sort out that person. This wife of mine, this husband of mine. And I'm just thinking, stop worrying about them. Stop worrying about them. Allow the Lord to come and shape and mold you. And take responsibility for that more than you worry about someone else. Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of those profound scriptures. Just as you apply yourself, you will not become ineffective. You'll keep growing. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So what Peter is saying here, if you've forgotten your fallen state, if you've forgotten that you've been really cleansed from a horrible, unredeemed state, you're not going to apply yourself by applying those principles because you've forgotten how much he saved you from. So sometimes we just got to realize, I grew up in a Christian home, and at the age of 7, I gave my life to Jesus. And yes, teenagers a few weeks ago, they testified about how they were doing this and this and this, and they're not even 16 yet. I stand here, I didn't do any of those. I didn't smoke. I didn't sleep around. I grew up in a Christian home, and I had to ask the Lord, Lord, when did I come to know you? Because it was just one long journey. And he showed me a moment, and I think that's the moment I responded to the gospel when I was 7 years old. I didn't really, for long, I was like, I didn't feel like I was saved from much. Because I grew up in a Christian home, you know, I was a good boy, and then the Lord saved me. But then it dawned on me, whether I got raised up in a Christian home and I kind of like met Jesus that way, or whether I did drugs and slept around and vaped and do the various things, it doesn't matter. Because we were all unsaved. And we were all without Christ. And we were all dead in our trespasses. And so in one sense, all of us here sitting have a past where we didn't belong to Jesus. Where we were dead in our trespasses. All of us here. And he saved us from that. And sometimes I need to pray, Lord, just show me what you saved me from. And then he shows me. It's by his revelation, he convicts me. Like, see, you thought you were good, but actually there was deep down a lot of rot. But I saved you from that. And so then I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to apply myself. I want to put together, I want to apply some goodness. I want to apply some self-control. I want to apply some love. I know he then needs to cultivate it in me, but I need to position myself in order to apply it. Second point, we hijack our faith when we become dry. There's obviously a principle in pottery. As I understand, I've never done pottery myself, but I know Lizaldi has recently. She made a bowl. A bowl. A marsh bowl. No, it actually was much better than that. It was quite decent. But you need to make sure the clay remains wet in order to shape it. And so we want God to mold us, but we're not spending time in His presence. It says that the Spirit of God lives within us and He's a fountain of living waters gushing forth. But we fill our lives with so much that that fountain, in a sense, becomes clogged. And we become dry. Think about it. I've sat with people in this congregation, and then we how does your quiet time look? And it's like, it's not good. I feel dry. Think quickly about it, because I know many of you have answered that somewhere in this journey. Think of quickly how your growth was in those times. It was limited. Because you're not easy motivable. You easily get offended. You struggle in your marriage because you're not beholding Him. You're not in His presence. You're not soft. And so we hijack our faith by not being in His presence. There's a principle, if there's a lot of big trees and they shoot their seeds and some of the young trees come up, because of the shade of the big trees, those young trees have limited growth. But the moment you take them out and you plant them in an open field where there's sunlight, they start growing and at a rapid pace. And because we're not in the presence of the sun, it mars or it limits our growth. And we need to be in the presence of Jesus. Paul prays and he says, may you know the love of the Father, the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, and the continual fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we're intimate with Him, when we spend time with Him, when we're beholding Him, we are being transformed. We need to position ourselves. He does the eternal work. But if we're not trying, if we're not positioning ourselves here, He can't really mold and shape because we're hard clay. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Skulk shared on that last week. If you abide in Him, we'll bear much fruit. Third point. Oh, yeah, that's the potter. If we stay hurt and offended, we hijack our faith. If we stay hurt and offended, we hijack our faith. We've experienced this. I've seen it. Is it an issue getting hurt? No, because sometimes people hurt you and situations are hurtful. The issue is not the hurt, but I've seen Christians stay hurt and that limits their spiritual growth. They stay hurt. They stay offended. And when you're offended, I believe God says, I give grace to the humble, but I resist the pride. Being in a place of offense with someone else is actually a position of pride. And God resists that. God resists that heart's attitude. He says, if you can't forgive, my Father in heaven won't forgive you. And it hampers, it limits our growth. Early on, I read about Paul speaking about you need solid food, not milk. You need to come back to the elementary things. Forgiveness is one of the elementary things of our faith. Sometimes we can't extend that and it hampers, it limits our growth. And we settle here. I'll say, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell, I think. But I'll just stay offended. I'll just stay hurt. If you still are carrying hurt of 4 years, 3 years back, you need to bring that into the presence of God. You need to bring that to God and say, God, heal me. Let me forgive people. I need to move on. Because I'm ineffective and unproductive if I don't allow the Lord to heal me and move on. I'm not a blessing to the church. God can't fully use me because I'm carrying it. I've seen people in this congregation that are still carrying wounds of the past. And they're ineffective. And I'm pleading. And I say, Lord, please. Because I can't force them to move on. The Lord won't do that. The Lord won't force and say, you've got to get healed now. We need to surrender that. And when we do, we soft and then He can come. Someone didn't text me back or didn't respond to my message. Or maybe they said something quite harsh at community. Now, because they said something harsh at community, I won't forgive them. I'll keep this offense. It's going to limit you. You need to let go. You need to forgive. You need to own up. And if we don't own up, we stay immature. So I want to encourage you. Let go. Let go. Secondly, people will hurt you and offend you. It's inevitable. I think that's God's fingers. That's the potter's fingers. It's people. Let's quickly look around. Is there any thumbs or index fingers in anyone here? There's no invisible fingers in anyone here. God uses people, this church, and situations to mold and shape us. Recently, we had a situation at our elders' weekend. And I'm sharing because I'm so chuffed how Lizaldi handled it. But some stuff was said. Some stuff was said, and it was hurtful for her. So hurtful that she wanted to bail. It was hurtful, it was painful. There was no ill intent in what was said. But what was said was painful and hurtful. Now she could have majored on what people said. But we've got a biblical value. It's not a Joshian value, it's a biblical value. Where we want to invite the input of people in our lives. Because we've got blind spots. We don't see everything. We need to say, where's the areas that I'm not growing? We need people to speak in our lives, because this is what the Bible says. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. One who is full of loaves, one is full loaves honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. So there's something where we get bruised and hurt, but it's actually God's intent to shape and mold us. But if we stay hurt, we're not going to grow. So things were said, she was hurt, she wanted to bail. We spoke and I said, look, the fact that there's hurt emotion, it could have been hurtful, true, deal with that. But it also reveals something of your state. You know, a few years back, I was hurt by stuff that was said in the eldest meeting. Sat with Russell and I thought Russell's going to cover me and said, don't worry, people are wrong. And he said, no, Kevin, you need to sharpen up in this area. It was quite direct. I left that coffee shop thinking, what on earth just happened? I thought he's going to rally behind me. And it's like, let's take these people down. I thought that. But then I got knocked down. I'm like, what's happening here? I felt the Lord teach me in that moment a very valuable thing, something that I've held on to since then. The fact that I've got that emotion in me means that I need to deal with something. The people might have been wrong. Russell didn't deny that they've been wrong. Maybe he didn't feel, I don't know. But whether I feel they were wrong in the handling or what they say, it's irrelevant because something in me popped up, which is of a different nature. Which is an emotion and a feeling that will not be in heaven. So if it's not in heaven when I'm perfect, that means it's an imperfection and I need to deal with it. Is it real feeling? Absolutely. It's real. I can't deny that I got hurt. But are we not going to be hurt in heaven? We're not going to be offended in heaven. So that means it's of the old nature and I need to crucify that and put that to death. Lizaldi wanted to bail. She didn't. She realized. I told her, look, you got to realize now whether, you know, we can dissect what just happened, but you've got something you need to deal with. And she dealt with it. And it ended up being a testimony to others. And actually a moment of growth for her. But if she didn't, if she stayed hurt, if she still focused and stayed in that place, she would have not walked in the measure of growth she's walking now. I'll tell you this. I've been on this eldership team for 10 years. I've seen people that have walked with hurt and pain and offenses on this eldership team who have dealt with it, who didn't deal with it, and I saw they were stagnant. But when they started to deal with it, I saw them growing and walking in something that God has for them that they didn't walk in. Does that make sense? I want to say this. As people speak into your life, let some friends wound you. That doesn't mean we can now go and just clap everyone with some hard truths and wound them. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible speaks to the one receiving. But when we give, we need to do it fearfully. We need to do it in love. We need to do it with patience and kindness. And we need to do it led by the Spirit. Just because you're seeing in something in someone's life doesn't mean you have to speak to it at that very time. Pray for the person before you speak. But you've got to speak the truth in love. Invite people to speak into your life. If you don't have someone over the last year that has spoken into an area of your life, consider why not. Consider why not. Is it because of pride? Is it because of insecurity? Is it because you've settled? Why not? And if people hurt you, just remember that trust isn't earned. Trust is given. Love trusts. You give trust. You don't have to earn it. People don't have to earn it. Let me wrap up. We hijack our faith when we don't persevere with God's word. When we don't persevere with God's word. There's a parable that Jesus told about the sower. You would have heard this before. The seed of the word of God. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path. So the sower sow the seeds along the path. And apparently in Jerusalem, there was it was a lot of rocky ground. It was hard soil, this desert environment. So if they would, sower would walk, he would walk along the path and sow the seeds. And that path would become very hard because they're walking around it the whole time. So some seeds fall there. And he said, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from the hearts of people. So they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky grounds are the ones who receive the word with joy in their hearts. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. I believe God has spoken very clearly about a few things in the last 5 weeks. And I think for some of you, you've received it with joy, but it hasn't taken root. You haven't put it into application. Time of testing, it came, and you just moved on. I think sometimes we're not deliberately, we don't want to apply the word of God in our lives. I think life just happens. And it becomes busy. And we forget. And we forget. But I do believe God is calling us to be intentional with this. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as soon as they're on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good hearts, who hear the word, retain it, and by perseverance produce a crop. It's those who persevere with the word of God, who constantly apply it. You see, the life's worries, riches, pleasures, all those comes for everyone. It comes for everyone. So really the attitude of our heart has nothing to do with how we sit and listen on a Sunday, but it's how we apply the word of God after we've heard it. Did you get that? It's got nothing to do with how we sit and receive it. Because it says that people receive the word of God with gladness, but they didn't apply it. And I think sometimes we want to grow. But growth is not monumental moments where we just jump suddenly to step 5. It's daily decisions where we just apply ourselves. And when the worries of life come, we apply ourselves. And we give ourselves to the word of God. Daily decisions of application, where we persevere with God's word. Are you still praying? Are you still praying? Are you still loving? When God spoke about humility, what it basically came down to is a life of dependence on God. Are you depending on Him for wisdom? I want to read a few questions just to evaluate a few things. God wants us to grow. He wants us to be a blessing to those around us. What are you known for? What are you known for? Or what you're known for now different to what you were known for 5 years ago? What are you known for? Everybody, oh, there is the quote. Have you attended a prayer meeting on a Sunday morning since we preached about it? Why a question like this? Because if God spoke, have you applied yourself? I know sometimes people got sick. It was winter. But it was 5 weeks ago. So have you come to a Sunday morning prayer meeting at 9? Yeah, Kevin. Now, let's be honest. If God speaks, are we going to listen? Because if we're not going to persevere, we're going to hijack that area of growth in our lives. Have you attended a prayer meeting? If not, my encouragement is persevere with the seed. Repent and persevere. Apply yourself. What is the last thing God spoke to you about it that you stopped doing? Think about it. Has God spoken about an area in your life? Maybe you're a mom and you've got babies and you're sleep deprived and it's just like, oh, I don't have the energy to get into a bath. But maybe God spoke to you about giving thanks in all circumstances. Are you still giving thanks? Are you still giving thanks? Maybe God spoke to you last week not to rely on your intellect. God spoke about depending on Him. Maybe God is speaking in areas in your life that you need to step out and grow. But your intellect is in the way. But humility says, I'm rather dependent on Him than on my ability. So are you still dependent on Him? Or are you relying on your intellect? Because that's last week's word in practice. If you are not controlling yourself, then who or what is? He said, apply self-control, Peter, to your faith. Apply self. So if you're not controlling yourself, then who or what is? Do you have a genuine love and compassion for others, even when it's difficult? Just a few things in the last 5 weeks. Questions that we can evaluate. Have we been growing? Or have we possibly hijacked our faith, our growth over the last while? It's time to go and be doers of the word and apply ourselves. We got new phones, and then you normally update all the data and you go through some old photos. And in between all these old photos, there's all these random photos of a half-painted rock or a piece of clay design that's oddly shaped, but there's photos of it. Or there's this Lego creation of a truck or a spaceship. And it's photos of all these angles of these, and there's plenty of these Lego creations on our phones. You know what it was? It was our children that built a Lego thing, or they painted a rock, or they shaped something in clay. And in that moment, they were so overcome by joy and the pleasure of what they created, they wanted to capture that moment. So they got a phone because they wanted to take a photo of their special spaceship or their special rock. And our phone is bombarded with all these little images of their creation because it gave them deep pleasure in that moment. I want to tell you this. God wants to shape and mold us because it gives Him great pleasure to see us grow and become in the image of His Son. He wants to mold and shape us. Because He adores us. He loves us. And just as I saw the pleasure in my children, just imagine the pleasure of the Father if we're in His hands and He starts molding and shaping. Because I saw that pleasure in my children. I saw the value. I saw the appreciation of what they just did. I wanted to capture it. I want to tell you, God loves being close with us. And if we allow Him to shape and mold us, we'll experience something of the pleasure of the Father. God is for us. He is. But there's something if we surrender and you allow Him just to mold and shape you. And my invitation is that we would give ourselves for the Father to mold and shape us. But know this, as we come and worship now in a few moments and we're going to enjoy Him and worship Him, the key thing is going to be when we leave this venue this afternoon and tomorrow, that we keep applying ourselves and persevere with the Word of God. It's daily decisions, not monumental moments. Can we close our eyes? Lord, we don't want to settle. We don't want to settle. You've been speaking to us very clearly over the last few weeks. And Lord, we don't want to be a people that are hearers of your words and just carry on with life. We want you to come, Lord, and shape and mold us and settle these matters in our lives, Lord. Were you calling us to love one another? Why are you calling us to love one another to a greater measure? Because the world will know that we are your disciples by our love one for one another. Why do you want us to grow in our prayer life, God? Because you desire us to be closer than ever before. Because you desire us to press in for what you want to do in this season. Why do you want us to be humble? Because we know that you give grace to those who walk in humility. And in a sense, all these things are actually just a cry and a call from you for us to come closer. And we know that you say, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So we want to draw near, Lord. We want to draw near in Jesus' name.